Okay, today's daf is daf yud. So let's take from the top the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us this is probably of all the dafim in Erechin, this is probably the most famous daf. Not any of them are really famous, but this if any were to be famous, it would be this daf because it talks about the Hallel. So the Mishnah begins, Ein pochsin me'asim ve'achas tkiyos v'mikdash. There should never be any less than 21 shofar blasts in the base of Mikdash. V'lo mosifin al arbam u'shmer. There's never more than 48 of them. The Ein pochsin mishnei nevalim. There are no less than two. How do you define nevalim in English?
No.
Okay. Nevalim. Okay, great. There are no less than two of these instruments. V'lo mosifin al shisha. There's no more than six. So between two and six. Then the same theme of just listing a range of various halachas. Ein pochsin mishnei chalilin. No less than two chalilin. Were those flutes? V'lo mosifin al shnei masar. There shouldn't be more than 12 of them. And then Shemasar Yom, there are 12 days, Bashana, Hachal Maki Lefnei Mizbeach, where they'd blow the flute, they'd sound the flute in front of the Mizbeach. B'shchitas Pesach, when they check the Pesach, Rishon, U'b'shchitas Pesach Sheni, Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, when you do carbon Pesach, you'd blow the flutes. V'yom Tav Rishon She Pesach, first day of Pesach, V'yom Tav Shel Atzeres and Shavuos, U'b'shmonas Yimei Chag, on the 8 days of Sukkot. So we're going to see that the connection of these days, they all have Hallel attached to them. So the Hallel, there's more singing, there's more shios for Tishbachos, so there's more instruments being played. That when it came to the how do you define it? Of a type of wind instrument also.
Copper flute.
Okay. So it wouldn't come from copper, it'd come from kana, some type of reed, some type of wood. That's how it had to be. Mipnesha kola arev, it's a much sweeter sound when it comes from a kana as opposed to the nechoshes. V'lohaya mechalik el ba'avav yichidi mipnesha machlik yafa. They also only use just one because it sounds nicer when it's one. When it's having a solo, it's better. Sometimes instruments sound better when you have multiple strings and multiple winds, but this is better when it's just one instrument. The Avdi Kohanim, when it came to the Avdi Kohanim, Hayu Divrei Rei Meir. Rei Meir felt that the Avdi Kohanim were the ones who were blowing the instruments. They were the ones, at least Rashi says, Makim Bechal, they're the ones who were blowing the flutes. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishpachas Beis Pigarim, who based Tzfaria, Me'amom, Hayu. They were no, actually families. They were families that were from the Mishpachas Kuna. They were the ones who were blowing the flutes. The Gemara is going to explain, not today's daf, but I think tomorrow's daf, we're going to explain what exactly Machlokas is, who were the ones playing the flutes. And Hayu Masin Lakuna, and based on this, you were able to have them married to Kuna. Rashi explains, Masim Lakuna. Kohanim Hayu, Nosim Benosim. These families were not Kohanim, but they were families of Yichus. And Kohanim, everyone should take Yichus seriously, but the Kohanim have a higher standard. There are different halachas, the last parak of Kedushin talk about what types of questions, how far back they have to look into for Kohanim. So Kohanim are allowed to marry into these families because they were known to have good Yichus, even though they weren't Kohanim. They did have good Yichus, they played the instrument. And then the Mishnah finishes off, Rabbi Chanina, Ben Antignus Omer, Levim Hayu. No, actually, Levim were the ones playing the instruments. So there's a three-way machlokas who played the flutes. Were they Avdi Kohanim, were they Stam Yisraelim, or were they Levim? And this the Gemara will address, again, I believe, tomorrow's daf. So this is a long Mishnah. So the Mishnah had begun telling us that the range of tekios blown in the base of Mikdash is anywhere between 21 and 48 tekios. So what's pshat? The Gemara explains that Masnitz and our Mishnah is below Rabbi Yehuda. This is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The sign, we have a brisa that quotes Rabbi Yehuda's position quite differently. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hapoches lo yifchos misheva umosiv lo yosef al sheshesrei. The range of Rabbi Yehuda is between 7 and 16, which is much smaller number than that of 21 and 48. So Gemara wants to know, b'mai kemithli, what's the machlokas, whether the range is 21 to 48 or 7 to 16? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, t'kia t'shua t'kia chadi. Rabban Savar, t'kia l'chud, v'tshua l'chud, v'tkia l'chud. Mila Maisa, there's no real nafkamina. They're all doing the same tekios, the same chuos. The question is, how do you count them? Rabbi Yehuda views tekia chua tekia as one unit, so that's one, and Rabban count each one separately, that's 1, 2, 3. So the multiples are three times, meaning Rabbi Yehuda holds it 7 to 16. You multiply that by 3, you have 21 to 48. So in the end of the day, it's really the same amount of blasts, it's just a question of how one counts it. So the Gemara explains, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, why is Rabbi Yehuda count all three as a unit, as just one? Ksiva v'tikatim u'tshura. The pasuk says u'skatim tshura. He's supposed to blow the tshura. So we see that u'ksiv tshura yisko. So shema mina tkiya v'tshura tkiya chadi. That fact we're calling you're blowing a tkiya of a tshura and a tshura of a tkiya. We use these words interchangeably. So really view it as one unit. And Rashi says u'skatim tshura means amul tshura kari tkiya. The tkiya tshura. I don't care what it sounds like. It's all a tkiya and therefore all one unit. Rabbanan say no. The reason why it says uskatim chua hahula pshuta lefaneh. Every chua must be preceded by a tekiah. How do we know? Because the pasuk says uskatim chua. There should be a tekiah prior to the chua, meaning the sakatim isn't qualifying the chua. It's not describing what the chua is doing. It's saying uskatim do a tekiah and then do a chua afterwards. They're separate. And upshutu lachareya, and from the second pasuk, chua yisko tells us after the chua, you should do another tkiya, telling us both that there's a pshutu lefaneh and there's a pshutu lachareya hudasya, telling us that tkiya and chuas are differently, and therefore it counts them separately. So the Gemara now says, so now Rabbanan proved how you can't learn from Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk. But where does he know? What's the source that you should count them separately? Rabbanan, my time, I went to their explanation. Dechsiv, it says in a different pasuk, ubahak yasakal tisko velo sariu. The pasuk tells us you should dafka do a tkiah when you're gathering the nation, when you're assembling them, you should dafka do a tkiah. And is it this week's parsha?
Last week.
This is Baloska, okay? Sheikh Hatzotzos. So you should do a ubahak yasakal tisko velo sariu. You should do a tkiah and dafka don't do a tshua, so you see that they're separately. So if you're saying a tki and chua are all the same thing, it's one unit. Tki and chua, tki is one unit. Amar Rahmana Ovid Palga the mitzvah. You do half a mitzvah. That doesn't make sense. You can't separate any of them. So it must be, say Rabbanan, that they're separate blasts and we count them as the range between 21 and 48. Rabbi Yehuda responds back is, don't bring me raya from Ahakios HaKal, Simana Ba'almu. That's just a Simon Ba'alma, which Rashi explains. It's a Simon Sheikalu V'lav L'Shem Mitzvah. There's no mitzvah involved in blowing the tki or the chua when it comes to being Makah the Am. It's just telling everyone get together. It's like a big blast. Everyone come together. But there is no key mitzvah involved, and therefore that can have no bearing on the general tki or chua tki that takes place in the base Hamigdash. Okay. Gemara now says, "Kaman azlaha." Who is the following statement like that? Amar Rav Kana. This Bryce appears. This statement appears in Gemara Rosh Hashanah as well. Ein bein tkiya lechua v'loklam. There is no separation between the tkiya and the chua at all. Rashi explained v'loklam shelo yishoi yafzik bein pshuta l'shavane lechua bein chua l'shpshuta l'shachreya elosh bevas achas muchos lezu. You should do it right. There should be no interruption. Do tikiya chua tkiya without taking a breath or without taking any pause, without any interruptions. It should be seamless. Who holds that to be seamless? It must be Kaman ki Rabbi Yehuda, that he holds they're all one unit. If tikiya chua tkiya is all chad milsahi, then you shouldn't have any separation. That's who Rav Kana holds like. More subshita, of course. You don't need Rav Kana to tell me that. Once Rabbi Yehuda tells me that tkiya chua tkiya is chad milsi, I know there shouldn't be any separation. I don't need Rav Kana to teach me that din. That's such an obvious din. Rav Kana wouldn't waste his time saying that. Gemara says, no, Mao the same, I would have thought, afil Rabbanan asim, maybe Rav Kana even holds like Rabbanan. Even though Rabbanan hold tkiya chua tkiya separate, they might hold there shouldn't be any separation, ulafuke mid Rabbi Yochanan. Not to say that the mamish has to be seamless, but to say it shouldn't be like Rav Kana. Rav Kana was the other extreme, that you could have the mamish separate from each other, damar, shama tesha tkiyos betesha shows. If you hear nine tkiyos in nine different hours, meaning every hour you hear just one tkiya, and there's an hour of break in between, he actually holds b'yom yoyatza. So you would think, so when he says lo klum, it means there shouldn't be any separation. There shouldn't be a separation like an hour in between each tkiya. They should be much closer, but you don't have to have them seamless. So you would have thought Rav Kana is even working within the shita of Rabbanan, who tolerate a second or 2 second breaks in between. Kamashla, no, when Rav Kana says his statement, ein klum, he means mamish seamless like shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says, how do you know? Where do you see in Rav Kana's words that he's dafka talking about Rabbi Yehuda, where there's zero separation, and maybe it's like Rabban who said there could be like a second or 2 second separation. Gemara says, inkei mai v'lo klum. V'lo klum is really underscoring that need that the two of them have to be mamish together, has to be seamless, and that's where we know Rav Kana is holding like Rabbi Yehuda, and he's not holding like the shita of the Rabbanim. Gemara now says, shnei masayom v'shan namak v'chalil. in the 12 days of the year where they'd blow the flute right in front of the Mizbeach. So Maishna honey, why dafka these 12 days? Holvi Yochid Gomer Ben Zahalel. Since these are the days where Yochid completes Hallel, this is a full Hallel. Damar Rabbi Yochid Mishim Rabbi Yishim Ben Yotzadok. Shimona Sayyamim Misha Yochid Gomer Ben Zahalel. There are 18 days where a person finishes a full Hallel. Shimoni Mechag, 8 days of Sukkah. Shimoni Mechanaka, 8 days of Hanukkah. The Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Atzeres, Ubegola. In Chutzlarts, we have extra days, 3 extra days, because there are 2 days Pesach, 2 days Shavuos, and 2 days Sukkot. It's more. So it says, Begola, Esim Ve'achad, Ve'achad, 21 days, Tishri Me'achag, Shmoni Me'achanukah, Shei Yomim Tovim Shel Pesach, Shei Yomim Tovim Shel Atzeres. Take a look at Tosas for a second. A small Tosas, a Shmon Asa Yom, 18 days, we say this. Hadul Chashiv Erev Pesach, why isn't Erev Pesach part of this calculation? The Oz Havalo Yomtif Mishum, because it was also a day of Yomtif, right? There's a big machlok, is Erev Pesach, whether it's a din of Yomtif or not a din of Yomtif. We normally, Tosas, there's a Gemara in Pesach that tells us that it's Isser Melacha and Erev Pesach. Why is it an Isser Melacha and Erev Pesach? Rashi said because it's a very busy day. You're busy baking matzahs, you're doing b'tikas chametz, you're shechting. It's a busy day. Tosos there writes that no, it's because the day you bring a carbon, it becomes a yomtif, and since it's a yomtif, there's a mikzas iser melacha on the day of a yomtif is being brought. He brings many rayas from elsewhere that he actually quotes the Yushalmi and has a havamina that every single day of the year should be aser b'melacha since we bring the carbon tamid. He says it can't be true because the pasuk says vasapta diganecha, so you have to be able to do work. So we can't say every day is aser, otherwise you can never do any work in the field. But that's the havamina. The idea being, a day you bring a carbon is a yantif. So since you bring a carbon in Erev Yomtif, Erev Pesach, it's a yantif. So Tosas asks, how come we don't list Hallel as Erev Pesach, one of the days we say Hallel? We said Hallel in the basic Mikdash, and Mishnah tells them, Sachan, they would say Hallel. So Gemara says, Mishum de lo havi elo b'mikdash lo chashiv le. They would only recite Hallel in the Beis HaMikdash when they were bringing the Karim Pesach, but in the Batei Knessios throughout the Eretz Yisrael, throughout the world, they wouldn't say Hallel. That's why this was not part of the list. But in Echanami, there really are 19 days. This is a trick question. There are really 19 days where you say a full Hallel. I think I've told you this before, that on the Kol Elyon Bechina, to get into the why Kol Elyon Bechina, so Rav Shechta asks like basic questions sometimes to people who learn and went through Smicha, to show them that they don't really know much, or really said they should realize that they should learn the basics before learning the pilpul. So one guy was once asked, which days of the year do we say a full Hallel? So he knew that there were 18 days. So he started going through it and said, well, he said there are 8 days of Sukkot, 8 days of Chanukah, and then we say the first day of Pesach, and that's 17, and then he got stuck. So it says, Yom Atzmut. He thought it was like a trick question, and he was wrong. No, Shavuos was the last one. He could have said Erev Pesach, that would have been also one.
What's the
19th? The 19th is Erev Pesach.
I mean, only the Pesach.
Exactly.
So we hold like choices because we don't do Melacha from Chatzos on. Because you're busy, then you shouldn't do Melacha Pesach the whole day.
No, because only from the Zman you bring the Karim Pesach, which is from Chatzos.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Rashi... even Rashi would say because as things get closer, that's when things get busier.
And it gets busier after
Chatzos. Yeah. So there are not nafkaminas. One nafkamina is Erev Sukkot, whether there's Isamlach Erev Sukkot. According to Rashi, it's about being busy. So Rashi says even Erev Sukkot would be Usr because you're busy buying Lula, but so based on Yantif, or based on a carbon, there is no carbon being brought in Sukkot, so there would not be an Isamlach on Erev Sukkot.
I was in a shul that the previous Motzei Shabbos, they would not say Vihinoam when you got the Kadosh, when Erev Pesach was the next Friday.
Interesting. Okay, based on this idea. Very good. Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay, so then the Gemara says, last two lines of the Amud here, Ma'ishna b'chag de aminan kol yoma, u'ma'ishna b'pesach de lo aminan kol yoma. So we know when it comes to Sukkot, we say halal shalom every single day of Sukkot, but Pesach, we just say the first day halal shalom, but the rest we just say half a halal. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, this is what the more famous Gemara of Erechin is about. Kol Yoma, that happens to be, my Kol Elyon Bechina was from this daf, actually. Shechta was asking me about Hallel. So we're talking about this daf in Erechin. Okay. So Gemara says, Kol Yoma, the Chag, Chalukin Bekarbonoseim, the Pesach, Ein Chalukin Bekarbonoseim. One Sukkot, every single day is a different carbon. The first day of Sukkot, we bring 13 cows and 12 cows and 11. It keeps going down. It's Mamai the Paros, but it's a different carbon. On Pesach, it's the same exact carbon. Everyone knows, Ka'e'ela, because it's the same exact, laning every single day of Pesach, the same exact carbon. It doesn't change. So therefore, we view Sukkot as each day. This is based on what I just said, that when you bring a carbon, it's a yantif. So when there's a new carbon being brought, it's a new yantif. So Sukkot, each day is a new yantif. It requires a new halal. Pesach, it's the same carbon being brought. It's over and over again the same exact thing. So it does not become separate yom tovim. It's one long yantif, and therefore you just say a halal on the very first day. So then the Gemara says, Shabbos de chalukah bekarbonoseh, lema. So Shabbos also, it's a different carbon than the day before. It's a carbon most of Shabbos we bring, so shouldn't it warrant halal on Shabbos? So Gemara says, lo, ikre moed. Has to be called a moed, and Shabbos, in fact, is not called a moed. So you need to have a moed and a unique carbon. These are the two qualifications right now for saying a halal shalom. So the Gemara says, Rosh Chodesh, Dikrei Moed. We know it's called Moed based on the pasuk in Eicha. So we should say a Halal Shalem on Rosh Chodesh. We say Halal Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh. We don't say Halal Shalem on Rosh Chodesh. So Leima, a person should say Halal Shalem. Lo, Ikdesh Ba'asiyas Melacha. No, you need Issa Melacha. There is no Issa Melacha on Rosh Chodesh. We know there's a minag, women don't do Melacha based on what happened to Chet Egel and stuff like that. But that's not an Issa Melacha Midiraisa. So therefore, you need to have a separate carbon. Has to be a Moed. It also has to be Issa Melacha. Dechsiv, it says in the pasuk, Hashir Yelachem Kilel Kadesh Chag Laila Hama Amukudash Lechag Ton Shira. V'shem Mukudash Lechag Ein Ton Shira. So the pasuk tells us that the pasuk appears in Yeshaya, Hashir Yelachem Kilel Kadesh Chag. When you sing a shir, when it's a Kadesh Chag, when it's a Chag, when there's a Chag, what makes something a Kadesh Chag? When there's an Isser Malacha, then it warrants a Shir. But when there is no Isser Malacha, it doesn't warrant a Shir. This pasuk is also used in Gemara Pesachim to tell us how we say Halal also when eating the Karban Pesach at night as well. That's another instance where we would say Halal. But either way, we have three criteria right now. Again, just to review, we have a Karban, Ikre Moed, and Isser Malacha. So then the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah, V'yom HaKippurim, Dikrei Moed, they're called Moed, and also V'ikdush Basis Melacha, we know there's Issa Melacha on these 2 days, so Lema, we should say Halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so we know we don't say it, why? Mishum D'Rabbi Yabohu. Tamir Rabbi Yabohu, Amru Malachi Asharis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim say in front of Hashem, Ribono Sha'olam, L'mifnei Ma'en Yisrael, Amrim Shir Alfanecha, B'Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, how come they're not singing a song? It's a Moed, it's a Melacha, it's a separate carbon. So Amar Lehem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to the Malachim, Efshir Melech Yoshev HaKisei Adin, V'Sifrei Chaim V'Sifrei Meisim Pesuchim Lefanav, V'Yisrael Omrim Shir Lefanai, that they're standing in front of me and the Book of Life and the Book of Death are open. They have no idea which one they're being written in and they should sing a song. It's certainly inappropriate to sing a song, so for that reason they don't sing a song. Now just look at Tosis for a second here. Dira Maschel Amru Malachi Asharis Mipnei Ma'en Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanecha B'Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. Tosis writes, Aval Lo Kamar Mipnei, it doesn't say in the Gemara, Mipnei Ma'en Anu Omrim Shira. The Malachim aren't asking, why aren't we, the Malachim, why are we not singing songs? It's Mashma Shemalachi Asharis Omrim Shira, that the Malachim are Taka singing songs on Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. And lachein lachach omeri to brush shunav yom kippurim ain ledal, you shouldn't skip the words v'chayos yishoru v'chrum yifariru, because they are talking singing songs. We're not singing songs down here because we don't know what's going to be with us. But malachim are singing songs up in shemaim. Fine. So these are the different days where we say and where we don't say. So then the Gemara says, V'ha Chanukah, D'lohachi, Lohachi. Chanukah, there's no, it's not a Ikrei Moed. There is no carbon. There is no Issa Melacha. It has nothing to it. V'kamri, we say it. How come we could say Halal Shalom in Chanukah? And the Gemara says, Mishum Nis, because of a Nes. So it comes out from here, really, there's different types of halals that we say. Some halals come because of a nes, some halals come because of a yomtiv, some halals come because of a siyas. Some mitzvahs, like shaking, the Gemara says, when you shake lulav, you bring Karban Pesach, you say a halal. So there are different reasons why one would say halal. So a Chanukah is a different type of reason we'd say halal because of a nes. So then the Gemara says, Purim dika nesa, lema. So Purim also is a nes. We know Purim has no carbon, it's not a yontif, it's a malacha, but it's a nes, so it's a big nes. So we shouldn't we say halal on Purim, and we don't say halal on Purim. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lefish ein Omrim Shira, al nes, shebechot starts. There's a klal that we don't say halal on a miracle that took place in Chutzlarts, and the nes of Purim took place outside of Eretz Yisrael. So we don't say halal on such days. So it's a technicality. So a maskev la Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak v'arei Yitzis Mitzrayim, Dinesh v'chutz l'artz ava, v'armina hal, we certainly say hal on Pesach, and that took place in chutz l'artz. Kidetanya, the Gemara explained, based on the Braisa, ad shlo nichnesu l'Yisrael la'aretz, huchshar kol ha'ratzos lomar shira. Before entering in Eretz Yisrael, then the entire world was roy, that any nation took place anywhere in the world was befitting of saying hal. So this is prior to entering Eretz Yisrael. And Mitzrayim is chutz l'artz, that's fine. But Mishenich Nesul Aretz, once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Ben Nun, very appropriate to the sixth parsha, Lo Huchsharu Kol Aretzos Lo Marshira. Then all the other world, all the places, other countries in the world were disqualified from being Mechayiv a Shira. And that's why we don't say Halel on Purim. So Gemara, that's first shot. Rav Nachman Amar Kriyasa Zu Hu Halila. No, we do taka say halal, but it's a different type of halal. You know what the halal is? It's Kriyas HaMegillah is a halal. That's when Mekai Nadin. So they actually talk to Meiri and Megillah. I think the Meiri and Megillah says, if not, others talk about this. What happens if a person's in a place, it's Purim, and there is no Megillah? You can't read the Megillah. Should you say halal in that case? According to the first Mishnah, number one, does not say halal because it's a snes shebechutzlart. But according to this one, that the Megillah substitutes for the halal. So if there is no Megillah, then one would say halal. So then the Gemara says, Rav Amar Bishma, I understand Hasam Halal Avdei Hashem L'Avdei Paro. So I understand, so according to his last opinion of Nachman, that their taka is a halal on Purim, it just comes in a different form. So now, I understand why the time of Mitzrayim, we say Halal, Halalu Avdei Hashem, V'lo Avdei Paro. Paro is gone, he's no longer with us anymore, and we're mamash free. There's what to say Halal on. But Hachu, Halalu Avdei Hashem, V'lo Avdei Achashverosh, Akati Avdei Achashverosh, we're still under the ruling of Achashverosh, not that he's around anymore, but the same, his descendants have taken over, and they're still under their control to a certain extent, and therefore, how could we say that, we're free? We can say Halal Hashem. So Gemara says, Ule Rav Nachman, Damar Kriyasa Zuhi Halila. So according to him, who says that's a halal, Hatanya Mishenichnesu La'aretz Lo Huchshar Kalaretz Lomar Shira. How could he go against a brisa that says, no, you don't say halal on that which takes place in the Chutzlarts? And therefore, Kevin Shigalu, Chazul Laterim Barisham. Once we're exiled from Eretz Yisrael, we lost the Beis Hamikdash, we're no longer back in Eretz Yisrael with the Fogula. It goes back to the initial Heter that we are allowed to say halal on that which takes place in an ace that takes place in Chutzlarts. Okay.
Looking at the first one, the Shabbos, because Shabbos, any one day Hashem Hashem, you go on Moshe, Moshe Kodesh, and then it brings Shem Hashem and Tavod, it says Shabbos is the first one.
Yeah.
Any one day Hashem, well, Shabbos is the Moed.
Yeah, no, but the Gra already says, the Gra says that Moed is not really referring to Shabbos. The Gra says differently. The Gra says that 6 days are referring to the 6 days of Yontif, which are a certain amount of Chol Ochel Nefesh, and the seventh day Shabbos is really referring to Yom Kippur, which is there's no Heter Ochel Nefesh.
I think it's also because Hasher Tikru goes on Kiddush HaKodesh, which is on man's hand, and it's not on Hashem's hand.
That could also indicate that it's not Shabbos, not included
right.
There. Yeah.
Okay,
so then the Gemara says, quotes from the Mishnah, Lo hayamakava avu v'shal nechoshes, they wouldn't use this copper flute, they would only use one made from reeds or wood. So pasach b'chalal m'sayim b'avav. The Mishnah had just changed tunes, if you will, between the chalal and the b'avav, talking about chalal, the flute, in the beginning, using one word, and then the avav, it sounds like it's talking about the same instrument, but different words being used. So why did it change? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, haynu chalal, haynu avav. So it's the same thing. It's just telling us that it's the same exact instrument. V'amai karle chalal, the chalal kale. So really the word is avav. That's the correct word. But it's called a challah because it has a very sweet sweet voice. The word challah is somehow a sweet sound. So that's why we call it a challah. So then the Gemara quotes a brisa, Tani Rabbanan, Abu V'Hayiv Mikdash. He had this flute in the base of Mikdash. And challah haya, it was smooth. And then hadak haya, it was very thin. And shakana haya came from some type of wood, reed. And Moshe Haya came, dated back from Moshe Rabbeinu, this one Chalil, and Tziva HaMelech, and the king at the time commanded, V'tzipu Zav, the king of whatever, I'm not sure what time period this is referring to, but he had made a decree that you should make it pretty. It's so old, it's been around for a couple hundred years, perhaps 1,000 years, whatever the time period is, let's make it nice, let's make it pretty with gold. Lohaya Kalo Ari, but the sweet sound wouldn't come out anymore, it ruined the sound. Nonetheless, Tzipuya, they removed the gold plate, V'haya kolo ariv kimos shaya, and it returned back to the sweet sound that it once made. Tziltzul, haya b'mikdash, what's a tziltzul?
Symbols.
Symbols, okay. Yeah, symbols in the base of Mikdash, and this is what I think Miriam played. She had the tambourines and symbols when she were dancing around after Kriyas Yamsuf. So tziltzul haya b'mikdash. V'shon nechosh haya was made from copper, V'haya kolo ariv, a very sweet sound, V'nifkam once it got broken. The Chacham sent to who are the major experts in the world. What was the center of the world? And they brought the expert instrument fixers from Alexandria, Egypt. They fixed it. However, even though they made it look nice and pretty, but the sound wasn't as sweet as it once was. Nalas Tikuno, they removed the fix, and Hayakala Arif Kimo Shaya. So it sounds like it just may look bad. It broke in terms of how the appearance. Maybe one of the pieces was bent a little bit, but that was fine. The sound was still sweet. But once they had put their own, the man-made, the Egyptians put the fix, it ruined the sound. So they removed it. Right, it was still pogum.
It was still pogum.
Yeah,
as good as
exactly.
Originally.
Well, I think it may have been pogum. No, I think it may have been pogum in terms of how it looked, the appearance of it,
no,
even the sound.
Meaning it still wasn't as good
okay.
as originally,
but still better.
But it was much better than when they fixed it.
Okay. Then it says, Machtesh Hayab Mikdash, that this type of grinder in the base of Mikdash. Shanachosh Hayasa is made from copper, Umimos Moshe Hayasa, a day back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hayasa Mifatemes Esabasama had this ability not to only crush the spice, but made it actually enhance it and infuse it with the ability to project its smell. Vinis Pagma, and it got ruined once. They tried again to bring the Egyptians to fix it, the experts in the world. They fixed it. However, it wasn't able to produce, to generate the smell that it once was able to. Again, they removed the undid the fixed. And was able to go back to where it was once before. And perhaps your footnote says maybe not quite as good, but better than it was before the tikkun. Elu shnei kelim nishtar b'mikdash rishon. We have the two following. The two following kelim, vessels that remain from the Mikdash Rishon, this pagmum, they got ruined. The Haya Lehem Arucha, they had no way to fix it. Arucha means to fix. So, Valem, about these instruments, it was said, David says, Amar David, this goes back, I think, to the Mishkan. Even though called Mikdash Rishon, it really refers to the Mishkan. Because it couldn't be, David Mel can't be referring to the base of Mikdash Rishon because he didn't see the base of Mikdash Rishon. So it's really referring to, even though it says Mikdash Rishon, referring to the Mishkan. So the two came that remained from the Mishkan and they were ruined. And Alem, Amar David, David said about them, Nechoshes Mimorat, the copper is very thin, Nechoshes Maruk, and it also it causes it to Maruk is to shine and things to bounce off it. But these are two kelim that he described in the Pesukim in Mo'an Melachim, Mo'an Divrei Yavim.
It's from Yimei Moshe.
So these are from Mishkan, exactly, yes. From the Mishkan. Because yes. It can't be the base of Mikdash because you didn't see the base of Mikdash. So then it says, in the times of Ezra, so Ezra said the same thing. He had Aleim Hu Omer, Ruchlein Nechoshes Mutzav, Shnaim Chamudos Kazav. They were copper that was very bright. It was almost like gold. So these were very chashiv. So why were they chashiv? Because they dated back to a previous time period. So Rabu Shmuel, both of them said, one of them did a machlokes, Chadamar, one said, kol echad v'echad, each one of them, shakol kishnayim shozav. Each one of these copper instruments, these copper vessels, were the weight, the value of twice of the gold, since I guess it was so antique, maybe that's what gave it such value. And Chadamar one said, no, Shneim Shkulm Kecha Shezav. No, it was actually less valuable. I mean, both of them were equal to just one Zav. I mean, gold is more valuable than these copper instruments. So the Tanner of Yosef, said, Shneim Shkulm Kecha Shezav. And he said, no, they both are equal, both of them together are equal like the one, like the second opinion, that both of them are equal to one gold vessel. Tanner the Brisa says, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Shneim Hayu. That there were two of each. Shneim are shneim, altuk shneim ela shneim. Meaning they had two types of vessels, but each of the vessels there were two types. So they had a total of four kalim. That's what Rav Nosson understands. And Tani Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Shiloach hayav mikaleach maim bicha iser. There was a certain maim shiloach, a certain spring called mea shiloach. And the Ishbitzer names his sefer based on that pasuk. This spring. So Shiloach hayav mikaleach maim bicha asir. Now this spring would have water come out of it. The size of an iser, a certain type of coin. And Siva Melach Virchivu, and the king said, this is a wonderful spring, let's make it wider, let's access more water. He said, let's widen the exit. Kadesh Yisrabu Meimav, so more water should come out. But Nismatu, it actually caused the opposite effect, less came out. Chazu Miatu, they closed the gap more, and then Hayim Makalach Maim, and then it went back to coming out to the strong flow as it used to. And so these are just a series of cases where the king tried fixing and it actually ruined things. The Kaim Ashinemar, to fulfill what it says, the Pasuk Yirmiyahu, Al Yisal Chacham Bechachmasal, Vayisal Gibor Begvuah. So a person, don't rely on your wisdom so much, don't rely on your strength so much. Sometimes leave things as is, and things in the natural order are more effective than when man tries to invoke his own abilities. V'chein Haya Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ha-Radavlin Haya B'Mikdash. What does that mean? Gemara explains, My Hardavlin Amar Bai Tavla Gurgadona. It was a certain type of bell that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. Ipnesha Kola Arev was a very beautiful sound. Arbe Beis HaNeima, and happened to enhance, it added something to the whole symphony of instruments that were being played in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, I think this is a natural stopping point, so let's stop here, yeah? Should we go a little further? What time is it? Okay. Okay, let's go a little bit further then. Today's actually, we have more time. Tomorrow's Thursday. So the Gemara then says, Amar Rava Bar Shila, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, Magrefa Haisub Mikdash. There's a certain type of a spoon that they had in the base of Mikdash, or a rake, or something that they would scoop out the ashes from the Mizbeach. The Asar Nikam Hayaba, there were 10 holes in them, and each one had like a different prong sticking out, and each one had 10 different types of holes for sounds and instruments. Nimsa kula motzi mea mine zemer. So this type of instrument that had, it's shaped like a spoon of some sort, but it was an instrument. It was like, I don't know, an accordion. It wasn't really an accordion, but it had like 100 different holes to come out of this massive thing, which made all different types of sounds. Masi satana, the Brisa taught, he Ama the gavoa ama the katiyotze heimanu. So it was an ama long, an ama tall, and it was extended a kata yotze heimanu. Some type of how do you find a kata here?
A handle
was sticking out. Vasar nakam hayabad. There were 10 holes on the handle, and cholecha motzi mea mine zemer. Each one had a different instrument coming out of it, and nimtes kula motzi elef mine zemer. So his was different. His actually thought this was like 100, each 10 had 100 holes from each of the 10 smaller holes, or bigger holes, and it was a 1,000-hole piece. It was this massive, organ
like
of some sort.
One of those Scottish, how do you call those?
Bagpipes?
Yeah.
It could be a bagpipe. So this was I have no idea what it looked like, but it was some impressive instrument. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak v'Simanach. The Simanach is a Masnita Guzma. And the Brisers are exaggerating that the 1,000 holes seems to be a bit of an exaggeration. That's a mnemonic to remember that the Brisa had a larger shear than the other one. Okay, we'll stop here.